Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It's February. We're several months out now from all the festivities of this past summer, looking forward to this coming summer. One of the things that happens every 3 years, the LCMS, the National Youth Gathering, and a great gathering of youth from our church body, and even international guests as well at the LCMS National Youth Gathering. And at that gathering, there are a number of things that happen. A lot of study of God's Word, servant events, opportunities to serve, and fellowship, worship, all gathered together for this life in Christ. And something else that happens at the National Youth Gathering. We're able to gather some data, some information, pull the youth and hear and learn what's going on in their lives. What is their perspective on what's going on in the world around them as well? We're going to talk about that youth poll from the 2016 LCMS National Youth Gathering today. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. You can find out more about them on the KFUO website. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. There you can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. We have a great group in studio today to help us look at and interpret this information, this youth poll gathered at the National Youth Gathering this summer. We have the Reverend Mark Kiesling, Director of Youth Ministry, the LCMS Office of National Mission. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for gathering all this information and then piling it all into one big box and bringing it down to the studio today. All the shoe boxes that you brought on the cart with you today.
My pleasure.
It's a little more digital than that today. Huh? The Reverend Dr. Terry Dittmer, Emeritus in LCMS Office of National Mission Youth Ministry. Terry, welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Glad to have you retired. How's retirement going?
I haven't figured it out yet.
Well, it's nice to have you in here spending some time with us in the studio today, helping us look at this information. And the numbers guy, Ryan Kernnut, he's a senior research analyst with LCMS Research Services here at the LCMS International Center. Ryan, welcome to Faith and Family.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you in studio making your radio debut.
Yeah, that's right.
do senior research analysts get to talk on radio programs that much?
Typically, they don't like us to talk too much. We're a strange breed.
Keep you hidden in the cubicles. But you have lots of numbers and data to share with us today and help us interpret and understand this. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Ryan. Tell us a little bit about your work as senior research analyst. What do you do as a research analyst here at LCMS?
All sorts of things. I work closely with the Office of Rosters and Statistics. We report to the secretary together, and that's really so that we can, they'll work at collecting these numbers, the congregation statistics, numbers on church workers. And then I'm usually the one who's doing the in-depth analysis of those numbers. So when we produce reports that are more than just the simple counts, I'll be doing that. But I also work a lot with survey research, focus groups, and interviews when there are ministry questions around, whether in this building or in the district offices. They'll come to us and we'll do unique research studies to try and get at some of the issues that are underlying. So such as this LYF poll.
Tell me, how long have you been involved with this LYF poll? This happens, what, every year, every National Youth Gathering, so every 3 years?
Well, this was my first year working with the LYF poll. I'd worked with the National Youth Gathering doing evaluations and was continuing in that role this past year in a bigger sense. And since I was there, it made good sense to sort of take this on as well and use our online survey tools to move this into an online survey that they were able to take on iPads. We had something like 15 iPads in the booth. And so instead of filling it out on paper and then having to figure out how we'd process those paper forms, they were able to do this online on an iPad, which made it much quicker for them and much, much quicker for us to turn around and get the data cleaned up and produced into reports.
And do you think youth are more likely to complete the survey if it's on a digital device like an iPad?
Certainly, they are much more used to that than in filling it out. So,
what do you think, Mark?
I would definitely believe that. We've seen the participation rate increase tremendously from going to laptop and then on top to the iPads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were naturals at it. I walked by that booth and it was full. Every time I walked by, it was full, and they were just flying through. I looked at it this morning. The average youth it took to fill out these nearly 60 questions, it took them, most of them finished it within 8 minutes on these iPads. Now, most of these were multiple choice questions, so they weren't having to write things down, but that's fast.
Terry, how long have we been surveying youth at the National Youth Gathering?
We've done it every 3 years since the first gathering. That was in 1980. The reason we did a youth poll is we always said that our exhibitors, and the LYF is a booth in the exhibition area. The goal was to always have a hands-on activity. And so the youth poll became the hands-on activity in the youth booth at the first gathering. There were about 10 questions on that survey. And I looked up this morning to see what we asked them about. We asked them about the Equal Rights Amendment, question about ordination of women, question about fellowship, but it was specifically fellowship with other Lutherans. And I can't read my writing. Oh, a military draft was an issue then.
And what year was that?
1980, Fort Collins, Colorado. About 4,200 kids were at the gathering. Poll has 60 questions on it. It's electronic. The most creative, I think, the first one was hand tabulated. The first three were hand tabulated. Then we went to New Orleans in 1992, and we used the voting machines of Jefferson Parish. That was a little bit. It was to give a civics lesson as well as gather the data. Did not allow us to have adult responses, however. That was interesting. Then we moved to scan sheets. Kids knew how to do scan sheets better than adults, I suppose. And now it's all technology.
Through the years, how have the data and the analysis of that data been utilized in LCMS youth ministry and in other areas of the LCMS as well?
Well, one of our goals in doing the poll is to find out where our kids are in terms of issues and concerns that are part of their lives and the world that they live in. Once the data is gathered, then our responsibility is to take that information and look at how we can create resources and opportunities for young people, for us to explain the faith to young people who are part of, whether it's a youth gathering or a congregational youth group or a youth Bible study. What kind of resources can we produce that respond to real needs and real concerns and real issues?
So resources to help pastors, parents, other leaders, DCEs in responding and specifically teaching on some of these issues that are of real concern.
Exactly.
So it's helped us with speaker topics at the youth gathering, other conversations that we have, even in with the new explanation to the catechism coming out, that type of stuff, as far as information that's there. And I think it's good for some youth gatherings too, or some youth groups, some youth ministries, potentially look and say like, hey, how does our youth in our congregation match up with maybe these numbers that we see, to see like where we might be different, similar, and where can we be aware of some things that might be happening within our own community that we see from the larger group of young people who are attending the youth gathering.
How do you go about preparing the questions for the survey? What are the things that you're aiming to learn about from our youth, or how are you choosing the questions that you include on the survey?
One of the things we've always tried to do is have the same question appear on successive polls, so we can measure the data and see where kids are trending, popular word these days. And then we also take a look at what's going on in the world and where are there questions that need to be added. This past year, in 2016, the poll included for the first time a question about science and evolution, which it's a little strange to me that we've never thought of including that before, but we thought about it, or we added it at least this time.
Have you ever had to wait out and decide, you know, prioritize the questions because you don't want too many questions on the survey? Have you come to that point where you've had to narrow it down?
Well, we tried.
Yeah. Mark started with 120
right,
questions.
Right. It was a little bit of a battle with Ryan. Like, really, okay, well, if they can get that done in 8 minutes, what can they do in 15? But that's a little too long to sit and take a poll. So we had to definitely do that. And one thing I had to add, too, that Ryan was real helpful this year going through the questions was that we also tried to bring some of our questions in line with what you might see in some other national polling, like by Barna or Pew or some of those, where like we had similar answers. So we try to make those wordings similar, so we have some comparative data for maybe other denominations or the culture at large, or other religions maybe. And so that was helpful too, to kind of have some apples to apples comparison, so that even the language of how our young people are understanding terminology in our world are similar or different. And so that was one thing we brought into connection too with the answers, maybe more than the questions, which was helpful this time.
So there wasn't any Latin in the survey.
Right, yeah.
How do you go then, how do you decide what 60 questions, is that right? What 60 questions to include? You get those 60 questions, and then this all has to be put into a digital survey. I guess that's Ryan's work then, is that right? And your team?
Yeah, well, in one way is we try and hide how many questions there are by grouping them as closely as possible. So if you're asking the same thing over and over again, you know, there's a series of questions on use of tobacco, alcohol. We just group those together so it doesn't quite look like 60 questions. I think it was only 3 or 4 screens long, which that's really probably more what they're paying attention to. But yeah, you need to give it a good balance. And so we had a lot of good conversations about how to prioritize it and which questions seem to be more important issues in the discussions that these young people are having.
So you go ahead, Mark.
Well, I say probably some categories that we always think about the young people themselves is their family life, situations at home, relationship with parents. Relationships with the church, activity that's there, both from corporate worship, connection to the congregation, as well as maybe specific youth ministry-related activities that are there. Their own lives outside of the church in terms of what they are connected with, sports, extracurricular activities, school, time, amount of time there. And then one that's grown now recently is how much time do they spend on social media? What was maybe 2010 the first time we started asking those questions maybe? And then, you know, so Snapchat came up this time as highly used by young people. That wasn't even an option in 2013. 3 years, a whole new platform that now is the top use by young people. So you have those that change along those ways too. And then there's certain questions, like Terry said, about attitudes, maybe about things that maybe the church doesn't take a doctrinal stance on, but we just are curious about that. But then also doctrinal questions too that we ask to see what their understanding is of this question or terminology within our doctrine and within scriptural understanding of it.
So it really covers a broad spectrum of things, really trying to wrap our minds around what are their perspectives on these? What is their understanding on a number of things? And what is, get some glimpse of what life is like for them as well, their relationships, those types of things. So we get the final list of questions, the information we want to gather, put it all together in a survey. And Ryan, were you a bit nervous when the devices were rolling out in New Orleans this year, the iPads rolling out in the youth booth?
You know, not so much.
Or were you excited?
I was more excited. And we had had a good test because we sort of did a test run with the young adult volunteers as they came into the gathering. So we did a very similar sort of rollout with them. And that was a smaller group. So if anything had gone wrong, we could have caught it then. But everything went well there. And so I was very excited. We had a good team in the booth who understood how to do it. And I went down there several times, almost expecting that there to be problems, and found everything was running eerily smoothly.
Were you able to watch results in real time?
Um, I, I was able to, other than the fact that I was busy doing other things, helping out the youth gathering. But every once in a while I checked and would send them updates at the booth on how many had come in and what was going on. So
how many youth were polled? How many participated in the poll?
There were a total of 1,359 youth polled, as well as another 157 adults.
So that had been 8.1% of the youth who attended the gathering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where does that stand in line with, you know, a typical survey that you, where you're getting volunteer participants? That sounds about, to me, that sounds about typical.
This is definitely one of the highest volume surveys we've done, just in terms of raw number responses. It's hard to judge response rate on this one because, kind of like I was saying earlier, the booth was full. All the iPads were occupied at all times. So we couldn't have really done anything to improve response rate over and above that. So and with this volume of responses, the actual response rate doesn't even so much matter because there was so much volume that came in.
And that's helpful. I think Ryan's always reminds us that this isn't necessarily what you might hear a random sample because it's people walk up to a booth, but because it's self-selected, but from the standpoint that the results were so good, the data, you know, we definitely pay attention to the data because of that, even though it maybe not be your national random poll that you might see on news or something like that. But yet, since the response was so strong, we feel like it's good data and certainly something we want to pay attention to.
Yeah. This volume of responses says a lot about the students who were at the gathering. Mm-hmm. It's a large enough snapshot of them, maybe not compared to generalize it and say this is all youth across the country, but certainly the ones who came to the gathering, this is a good snapshot of
the ones who came to the gathering and the ones who chose to participate in the poll.
Yes, mm-hmm. correct.
Yeah, because I agree. Every time I walked by the youth booth as well, it was it was chock full and it was busy. Mm-hmm. It was not too far from where I was stationed for broadcasting at the gathering, and I almost a stone's throw from the booth, and I could see, it was constantly packed. There were constantly people there participating in the poll. So a great response. Glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you pointed out that the caveat. This is not what every youth in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod thinks, or this is not their circumstance or their situation. This is a snapshot of this number of youth, about 8% of the youth who attended the national youth gathering who chose to participate in it. That's a little bit different than saying this is what every youth in our church body thinks.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, there were some things too. We'll probably talk about it a little bit later. Some backup to some of that, especially concerns of young people to see like the attendance at our workshops, as it was very much in line with what they told the survey was as far as those were full workshops or overflowing, whatever it might be, or asking for more. And so that's a good support on some of those, especially when it comes to some issues, I think, that the young people are asking for the church to talk about and educate about. So we saw some correlation there too.
Let's touch on that a little bit. What were some of the top issues that were significant that we learned about? What were, give us a quick rundown of what those are, and we'll dig into them deeper throughout the rest of the program.
One of my favorite questions on the poll is, I guess it was the second last question. This time it always was the last question, where we asked the kids to identify the top three issues or concerns in their lives. There are 26 things that they can check. The thing that surfaced and kind of, in one sense, surprised me was the top concern for teenagers this time was terrorism. Terrorism's always been on the list, 26 items, but it hadn't surfaced above 5% of the kids responding up until this time. And 27.7% said terrorism was their concern, and it was the number one concern of all of them. Some of the concerns also, they always seem to fall in line. The future, college, getting a good job, those kinds of things, some family things. Abortion surfaced in the top five for the first time this time. And the fifth concern was my faith. And the frustrating thing about that response to me, I'm looking at it and it says to me that kids somehow are anticipating the challenges post high school and what's going to happen to my faith. How am I going to be able to keep my faith? Am I going to be tempted out to take me outside of God's love? And that my faith surfaces every time, a genuine concern that something might happen to them spiritually.
Terrorism. Let's go back to that one. What's your response to that when you see that ranking in some of the top responses?
A couple things I'll say just to kind of try to take us back to July 2016 a little bit. We were gathered in New Orleans about a week and a half after the police shootings in Dallas. The Baton Rouge police shootings actually happened while we were in New Orleans. So definitely there was that conversation. Certainly it's in the news a lot from everything from internationally with ISIS and other evils that we're dealing with in our world, but then also even what's going on in their neighborhood. So one is curious is why are they, is it because of the media? Is it being talked about in their homes and why that's a concern? Does it feel like it's a vacuum that it's not being addressed? I mean, so that therefore it's the unknown and therefore it's a concern. But certainly we saw a lot of response about even just in some of our sessions regarding fear of these things. And so that kind of fear of the unknown, that's outside of my control. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely I think a little bit reflects that headlines maybe of that was there. But again, interesting to see, like Terry said, it came from basically bottom of the pack kind of usually on these issues to boom, the top. It was an interesting piece to see just from that fear perspective and a good conversation starter, I think, with young people about what's going on in our world and a place, again, to assure them of God's grace and mercy and presence in our lives.
You pointed out that abortion rose up in the list of concerns this time. Your response to that?
Well, abortion's always been on the poll.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the early days, it was a question of a constitutional amendment to ban abortion. But I think what it is saying is there are a number of surveys that where teenagers are trending towards a pro-life position or a pro-life stance. I was surprised, pleased. But it seemed to demonstrate that what's going on in the lives of teenagers was reflected in our poll in terms of mm-hmm. being pro-life.
Mark, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, just coming off the Life Conference and the Life March itself, which was, you know, obviously beyond just LCMS young people, but I mean, wow, it was so encouraging, so hopeful, so amazing to see.
So young.
So young. That's exactly it. To see the young people, high school students, college students, younger than high school students, who are taking a stance. And I think, again, I think we see that in our LCMS congregations too, as they've learned to have a voice about it, as they've learned to educate about it, that I think it's become an issue that our young people are more educated about and care about. The unborn and all life issues too. I mean, I think it's just abortion. I think it reflects across the board. And again, sessions at the youth gathering packed that were about this issue, either maybe themselves struggling with it or how do I help a friend who maybe isn't in my church, but yet now finds themselves pregnant or whatever it be. How do I speak the love of Christ into their life? Talk to them about life issues, encourage them to get help. And so it's really neat to see young people understand that and take that to heart.
Mm. So terrorism, abortion were fairly new in their rank mm-hmm. in response. And we'll talk about some of the others as well. The other responses of the youth in this LYF youth poll took place at the 2016 LCMS National Youth Gathering. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. We'll be back with more about the youth poll in just a moment.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
My favorite passage is Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Those 8 beautiful words instill peace, comfort, and encouragement. It's why they're on the wall of the chapel in our office. When the ghastliness of abortion and the task ahead to end it seem overwhelming, I look to this Bible verse. At those times of stress, when helping a woman contemplating abortion, or a father who deeply struggles with the aftermath of abortion, I'm reminded God remains in control. When the budget is tight, I recall we work at the will and pleasure of a provider who owns the wealth of the universe. What inspired words of Scripture encourage you the most? Please share them with me at lifeissues.org, then click on the microphone icon.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
How can we explain President Obama's change of position on same-sex marriage? Was he an opponent of religious freedom? And is it fair to call him the most pro-abortion president in our nation's history? Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll visit with President Obama's Faith Vote director, Michael Ware.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
In this corner, weighing in at 170 pounds with the sage wisdom of age, Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky.
And in this corner, weighing in at over 300 pounds with the quick thinking of youth, Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
Yeah.
Weighing in at over 300 pounds?
Well, Matt, radio easily adds 50 pounds.
But I'm not over 200.
Oh, Matt.
Wrestling with the basics.
Saturday mornings at 9 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Our Give Now button at KFUO.org is available 24 hours a day. Also, you can send email to gifts@KFUO.org and ask for information about our various giving opportunities. To call and talk to someone today, contact Mary at 314-996-1518 or Mark Hawkinson at 314-996-1520. Support the mission of Worldwide KFUO and help us reach the world with the gospel.
Did you know that Moments of Assurance is celebrating its 10th anniversary? To help celebrate, we're offering you a chance to win dinner for two, music, and chocolates, a $175 value. You'll get a $100 gift card for dinner at a restaurant of your choice, plus 2 Lilyfield CDs and a very nice, delicious box of chocolates. That's dinner, music, and chocolates, compliments of Worldwide KFUO. Be listening Thursday, February 9th, for your chance to win.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. I guess my algebra teacher was right. I always thought that when she said I would use this in the rest of my life, I never thought she would. But I was just looking at these numbers and on this paper and trying to understand them. That's why we have Ryan here today.
Exactly.
Ryan Kernut, Senior Research Analyst, LCMS Research Services, in studio with me today, and the Reverend Dr. Terry Dittmer from LCMS Emeritus, LCMS Office of National Mission Youth Ministry, and the Director of Youth Ministry, LCMS Office of National Mission, our friend Reverend Mark Kiesling, and all things National Youth Gathering, I think is another way to describe Mark Kiesling.
It's been a joy. It's been fun.
Having spent so much time in New Orleans, now preparing for Minneapolis, where it's a balmy 3.
Thank you so much for that
today.
Reminder.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But we're there in July, so.
Yeah. Yes. So it'll be nice, and it'll be it'll be a little bit different. Actually, you know, New Orleans wasn't bad in July.
We had phenomenal weather.
We came back to Missouri and we were sweating it off.
Well, the kind of funny joke was, so we have the closing worship service and, you know, we kind of did see you in 3 years. And so we were quickly reminded that we walked out of the Superdome at about a nice, you know, I don't know, maybe 86 degrees in New Orleans, which is pretty typical, actually, maybe even a little cool for July. Mm-hmm. And we were reminded that it was 115 that day in Minneapolis. So it was a stark reminder that you just never know. But God certainly blessed us with amazing weather in New Orleans this past summer. It was great.
Now, we are looking over the results of the LYF, the youth poll that took place at the 2016 National Youth Gathering, and I assume that there are plans to continue this practice of gathering information at the next gathering as well.
Absolutely.
We had 60 questions. Have you talked Ryan into like 80 or 90 questions for the next one?
We're working on it. and too, I mean, to expand it, we were very blessed, as Ryan mentioned. We also had our young adult volunteers who are age 19 and 25 take a similar poll with some different questions, obviously. That's helpful, too, to start see correlations, too. Now, these young people who have stayed in the church are connected in college and are given of their time. What are their attitudes about that? So we're so thankful for Ryan's service and to be able to expand this and to get more data and information to help churches connect with young people.
Was there something that you learned from that poll that was significant, that stood out for you?
Well, again, I think we see just sort of more influence in the youth and the young adults that are more connected, and because these volunteers were selected, they were the cream of the crop, so to speak, and so, you know, we see some really good examples of what we're looking for, and that was reflected in a lot of the results there. What has shaped these young people, and where are their values, and we can look at some of the things that sort of influence them to have where they're at now.
Before we went to break, looking at the youth poll, we were looking at the last question: what are some of the top issues or concerns for you as a youth, and worked through some of those: terrorism and abortion, finding a higher rank in these results than they have in the past. Other results, not necessarily just that last question, but other results from this poll that stood out for you that were significant. Mark, what were some of concern to you?
Well, not as a concern, but of interest about taking opportunities in our world to talk to young people about faith and what is on their heart and mind, and asking them and being in those conversations and relationships is one of the fascinating things about terrorism being one. Terry, correct me if I have this correct. But if it wasn't necessarily the number one choice, it was one of the top ones that came out of the blue in 2013 were environmental issues in 2013, which was, again, high in the news at that time. A lot of people discussing it in a good way, in a positive way. It's good discussion going on. It was a top concern where now we see it, again, looking at the list here out of the 20 plus that are there, it's like number 20. So, you know, in 19, it may not be terrorism, but yet there are these things that happen in their world that do get kids curious, maybe fearful, and there's those opportunities to have those discussions. And so it may not be terrorism or environmental issues in 2019, it might be something else, but that there are those hot button issues that come up that are good conversation starters in the context of faith, for sure.
It's interesting how things cycle in terms of subjects. In 1983, one of the top concerns was nuclear war. That was about the time Ronald Reagan was challenging the Soviets to take down the wall in Berlin. Nuclear war hasn't surfaced in the top five since then.
So they're paying attention. Young people are, whether it's to the news, whether it's to their parents, whatever it is, they're paying attention. And so I think that's good for us to be aware that good topical discussions of faith and our vocations as citizens is a good place to engage in conversation because they know what's going on.
That also, I think, speaks volumes to how much mass media
absolutely
influences youth either directly or through the adults around them, their parents and other adults that they interact with. Those headlines influence them, affect them.
Yeah. And now we walk into a whole other conversation we could have for another entire show. False news, all this kind of stuff. So then where is even the source of truth and what even a broader conversation to have with young people and the Word of God? So there's a lot of good connections for congregations to make.
Let's talk about, since we were talking about how the headlines affect them, whether it's directly or through their parents, let's talk about those adults in their lives and those relationships. What did we learn about youth and their relationship with parents through this poll?
Well, not to overwhelm you with statistical terminology, but one thing that I really wanted to make a priority as I analyzed these numbers was to look for correlations in the data. What do we see that can be factors that correlate with what we want to see in these youth, or maybe even predictors of so it's better behavior, so to speak, or beliefs that are more in line with where we want to see them. And I looked at we asked several questions about, you know, their relationship with their peers, their relationship with their church, with their pastor, with their parents. We asked several directions about relationship with their parents, such as, do you talk about faith? Do you pray together? Overwhelmingly, as I looked at all these questions, the number one thing that correlated with where we want to see our youth was, do you just talk about, not just, but do you talk about life issues with your parents? Whether or not they also talk about faith, whether or not they also pray together, talking about their life, just talking in general with their parents, having that relationship, was the number one predictor of low use of alcohol, low use of tobacco. And that doesn't mean it's a silver bullet. That doesn't mean, you know, if you talk with your kids, you're going to solve all their problems. But it was the number one thing we saw consistently over and over and over again.
That's consistent with national polls as well.
And I'd say going to those young adult volunteer data too. Anyway, I think one of the key indicators about why are they still in the church, why are they coming to an event like the youth gathering, is because they had strong parental relationships with their parents. And then also, I think oftentimes that is the parents are still engaged in the church too, that there was that tie-in. That parents, you know, for those that are listening, you know it, but just to continue to encourage you of the impact you have on the lives of your young people, your kids, in terms of their faith life, their walk with Christ, and their vocational living day in, day out.
And that's consistent with other research that Absolutely. I've seen as well, and it's not one or the other. It's if parents are connected to their youth and still active, engaged in the life of the congregation.
Exactly. Post high school years. So the young adults are seeing, or even older than young adults, see that when if mom and dad stay engaged in the church after I leave, after I go off to college, whatever, get a career, that says to me, oh, they weren't just going to church because of me, because they wanted me to have that grounding or whatever. They see a purpose for it. So therefore, it's important for me now because of the life that we receive in the church, and staying connected and rooted in Christ that way.
Mm-hmm. Whether we say it in those words or not, some of those things are so unspoken,
right?
That the behaviors that are learned
right.
And in terms of influencers, one of the things that I found interesting was the importance of a pastor in the life of teenagers. I think it's like 81% said they felt like their pastor cared about them as a person. I don't think we can emphasize that too much. They look for mentoring, spiritual growth, support, care from the man who is the pastor of their church. That goes along with a book called The Jesus Gap. The author, and I'm sorry, I forgot her name, but she surveyed teenagers and asked them who was the number one spiritual developer in their lives. She thought it would be their mom and dad, but the kids identified, this was a national survey, identified their pastor as the number one influencer in terms of spiritual life. I just found that interesting, the parallel between the two studies.
So the students in the LYF poll responded, how did they respond regarding their relationship with their pastor?
I think it's 81% said that they felt their pastor cared for them as a person.
It was that's a combination of strongly agree or agree with the question, my pastor cares about me personally. So that was, it was 81.9.
Wow.
Which speaks greatly to, I mean, we need to pat all the pastors on the back for caring enough that their kids recognize that caring and support that they get from their pastor.
And because that's to keep in mind, even we certainly hear these stories going through the registration process. I mean, a number of these congregations are there in a vacancy, whatever it might be. There's not even a pastor there. And yet, so you're just going to have a percentage. You might not be able to answer that question maybe. And so yet still see that high of a response is fantastic.
That's great. And as you said, great job to the pastors who spend those hours in pastoral counseling and care and that meaningful, intentional time with their flock. Absolutely. So relationship with parents, relationship with pastors, both played a significant role. You know, there's a direct correlation between that and some of those other things that, that we saw. I think, Ryan, you mentioned alcohol use or drugs and alcohol?
Yeah, so we see that with drugs, with alcohol. We also see it with some of their beliefs, including the question of, do you believe that salvation is through Christ alone? They were more likely to select the more doctrinally correct answer, that it is through Christ alone, not by works, if they had discussed life issues with their parents, that they're more likely to spend time in devotion and rely on God for life decisions if they've been talking with their parents. So we see it correlate not just in behavior, but also in belief and practice.
How did you go about, what was the question about talking with your parents? Was that how much time do you spend talking with your parents each week? Or I'm trying to remember how that question
it's on a scale of do you agree or strongly agree to strongly disagree you talk regularly discuss life issues with your parents, communicate well with your parents, pray with your parents. So we asked all those questions together on that same scale, strongly agree to strongly disagree.
And so there was a positive response of agree or strongly agree to those questions.
Very much so. And I think one thing that was important too, which is always interesting about the data here, we asked the question about their household situation. It's always very high above the national average that young people that are at the event are living with both parents. We give them a number of options, I think, living with both parents, living between both parents, living more with the mom than the dad, living more with the dad than the mom, I think are kind of some options we asked that. But the top response, again, was that they live with both parents, and that was at 81.1%, which again, depending on what national averages you look at, can be from 44 to 56%, I think, in terms of which ones you might study. So again, what a blessing family life is for many LCMS young people, that they've got that stability in those, and certainly all parents that are speaking into their young people, but yet that's a number too that we see well above the national average of both parents together in these lives of these young people.
Mm-hmm. What about technology and social media? I'd like to look at that a little bit. What were the responses? What were the questions and what were the responses regarding their use of technology and or social media?
So for social media, what we asked were, we listed the ones that we kind of expected or maybe not so much expected, but have seen in the past. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat were ones that we wanted to make sure we asked about specifically. And so we asked, as well as we just had a catch-all, other, and then if they marked other, we asked them to explain what that was. And so then we asked them, how often do you use it? And the options were too often, just because there are plenty of people who can't even count how often they look at them. 5 to 10 times a day, 3 to 4 times a day, once or twice a day, once or twice a week, rarely, if ever, and then not on this platform. And so we could see, especially between Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, that this movement toward Snapchat and Instagram as well among these new young people.
So among youth, Facebook and Twitter are down.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Instagram and Snapchat are on the rise.
Correct. Yeah. And even more on the rise, they are the leading platforms, not just on the rise. They have surpassed Facebook and Twitter.
What does that...
They're trending.
They're trending way high up, yes.
Exactly. So can I ask the Lutheran question then? What does this mean?
there's lots of questions on what it means. One theory that I've seen a lot regarding social media with these young people is that Instagram and Snapchat are much more private, whereas Facebook and Twitter especially, but even Facebook to a large degree, are very public, that everybody can see, that a record is kept. Instagram and especially Snapchat, even more so, it's very temporal, it's very private. And so I think that's something that a lot of demographers are seeing are important to this new group of young people, that their lives not be put on display. Mm-hmm. These are kids who essentially, when they were growing up, their parents had social media and were posting pictures of them. And so they've been online before they even touched a computer. Mm-hmm. And so I think that a lot of demographers are believing that privacy is important. Mm-hmm.
So that's their response to all the pictures and videos that parents have been posting for the last 15 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to say there, too, is that, I mean, who knows? Like I said earlier, Snapchat wasn't even on this survey in 2013. So what's it going to be in 2019? Mm-hmm. And I think that's for parents, churches, all those that are involved to talk about general communication and these issues like privacy. How do we share our faith? How are we lights in a dark place? This combination of, you know, where we maybe were able to talk about what's appropriate, inappropriate, and talking about interpersonal communication or how you talk over on the phone. Well, now it's a whole new world with social media, but yet there's still these foundational things in this, if you will, vocation of neighbor, vocation of citizen, about how we handle social media, phone, whatever it might be.
People talk on the phone?
Yeah, well, some do. I think this thing actually can receive phone calls. I'm not sure. I haven't done it in a while, but it's the matter of... To create those baselines, so like even when the platform changes, there's still these foundational pieces to this is how we handle these things. To the point where, you know, we were engaging with some young people conversation, like they said the thing that's just so different for them. You know, when I was a kid and I was going to have a conversation with someone of a peer of mine when I was at home, my parents could just simply say, you're not answering the phone. You're not going to answer it. You got to turn it off. Where now they talk around, they said, this phone sits in my pocket and buzzes and buzzes and buzzes all night long, and I can't turn it off. And so it's a matter of how to help them turn that off and to use these. As social media is a gift from God, and there's great things to it, but yet how to use it wisely and be good stewards of it.
Yeah, with young kids, we call that screen time.
Right, right.
Yeah, we're done with screen time, we're turning it off.
Yep.
That's probably a lesson we adults could learn from as well. Just time to turn that off so that we can unwind at night.
Exactly, and like, you know, we talk about the influence of parents of that mentoring and living that life too.
Mm-hmm. What does this mean for the future too? Yeah, what are the habits that we're teaching and passing on? Mm-hmm. And how are they responding? We have hopefully enough time here to look at this last question. What do you wish the church would talk about more? Was, I believe, one of the questions on the survey. Tell me more about what we were trying to find with this question, and then what we did learn.
Well, we intentionally juxtaposed this with the what are your major concerns? We got them in that sort of mindset with the concerns. They had options they could choose from. When we asked what issues should the church talk about, we did not give them options. And partially, we knew that having just given them a list of concerns, they would probably choose a lot of those concerns. But since we're saying, what do you want the church to talk about? We felt it would be prudent not to suggest what the church should talk about more. But for the most part, they did largely stick to that list above. There were several of new responses that were provided, but all the top ones were ones that came from that other list, but in a very different order than the list of concerns.
Mm-hmm. Really? What did you learn from this?
Well, the number one concern was LGBT sexual orientation questions. To me, that's kind of interesting because over the last five or six youth polls, there's been a question about homosexuality and gay marriage. And it looked like, based on the trending going on, that our kids were going to cross into a majority support of LGBT issues. That didn't happen, even though the Supreme Court ruled and marriages were happening, that it did not happen that our kids fell into line with the rest of society. What they did do was ask a question. They said they needed more information. And then that was reflected for me in this list when that surfaced. That information request surfaced as number one issue.
Mark, what does this mean for you and those who serve and care for you?
Right. I think there's a number of things in terms of engaging in those conversations. Parents being able to do that in those life conversations, those faith conversations, the church equipping the parents to do that, as well as the church themselves tackling these issues. And so, you know, like what we see it a lot, and some churches are already there, but we get a lot of young youth ministry practitioners who have served for maybe a number of years, and they look at their curriculum, whether it's confirmation, Bible study, parent trainings, whatever it may be. And like one thing, how they kind of put it always is topics we used to say were college topics are now high school topics. Topics that were high school topics are now middle school confirmation topics. Mm-hmm. And now, amazingly, things that we thought kids shouldn't be dealing with until they were in middle school, now it's mainstream in grade school. And so how do you winsomely, full of grace, have those conversations at the right time and be prepared to have maybe some topics about some difficult conversations in our world and where we stand as Christians and based on God's word? And so I think that's one of those top ones. And I think, too, there's always an interesting thing about these issues. Like I was just looking again, Ryan did a great job of breaking them out by age. And there's not a huge difference, but that LGBT sexual orientation issue is actually higher the younger they are. And so they're encountering these issues at a young age, to where are we equipping them to understand, to articulate, to hold firm to our teachings on it? And again, that might be some tough radical change, but like, we got to start this earlier. But to be able to understand what kind of nomenclature is being put before them, topics are being put before them in their everyday life, so that we can talk about and be secure in how we understand. And to Terry's point, too, about the I don't know question, that went up higher, but at the same time was highest amongst the younger age and then was lower with the older age. So I think around the church gets around to talking about it and they're forced to talk about it, but can we even do that earlier to be able to teach truth into their lives and put truth into their lives?
It's encouraging that the kids just didn't fall in line with the rest of society. Mm-hmm. They recognize that they probably didn't understand or have all the answers. So church, help me figure this out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is profound, that they see this as something they want to ask questions. They're trying to understand the world around them, particularly in light of God's word and the worldview that God's word shapes for them.
You know, and not just the LGBT sexual orientation piece. Sex was just the general high piece too. And we see that at the youth gathering, that there are our workshops are packed. And whether they themselves are looking for answers or they just want to know how to better articulate for their friends as they're going through the temptations of our world, and to be able to encourage them in their walk too.
Where can we find more information? The results of this youth poll, can we find more information?
So there's a online Reporter article that's available, and it was also in the print version this last month for the Reporter. The online article actually has more information, so I think it says that in the online piece. And then we'll eventually get to a full table, make this available through our webpage. So it's lcms.org/youth, and we'll have that full report available. Because there's a couple, we've had a few questions with Ryan too, now having a few other people look at it about, okay, so what are some other indicators maybe that we can help churches and support them in the work that they do, just using this data as one aspect of where we see great influence on young people.
And we'll share the link to that Reporter article with today's archive, today's podcast of the program as well. So if you're listening to this in podcast, you can find the link for that as well, along with the podcast on our website, kfuo.org. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being my guest today. The Reverend Mark Kiesling, Director of Youth Ministry, LCMS Office of National Mission. Thanks so much, Mark.
My pleasure.
And Ryan Kernut, Senior Research Analyst, LCMS Research Services. Ryan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And the Reverend Dr. Terry Dittmer, Emeritus, LCMS Office of National Mission. Thanks so much, Terry.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.